All right, get ready, because today we're going deep on a case that really shook up labor law. 14 Penn Plaza, LLC v. Piette. It's all about what happens when a worker's right to sue for discrimination goes head-to-head with their union's agreement to use arbitration instead.
Yeah, it's a real clash of forces. You've got these strong federal laws like the ADEA, that's the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, you know, designed to protect workers. But then at the same time, you've got this push for arbitration, which a lot of people see as this faster and cheaper alternative to going to court.
And if you throw a unionized workforce into the mix, things get even more interesting. In this case, the workers' collective bargaining agreement, their CBA, actually had a clause saying they had to go through arbitration for these kinds of discrimination claims. So their union had negotiated that on their behalf already.
Right. And that's pretty common in CBAs. It's often spelled out how these disputes will be handled, you know, including things like discrimination. That's a big part of the give and take of collective bargaining.
Okay, so let's set the scene. We're in New York City, and we've got these employees at an office building. They get reassigned to jobs that are, well, less desirable, and they think it's because of their age, straight up age discrimination, and they are not happy.
No, not happy at all. Their union, the Service Employees International Union, they stepped in and filed grievances for them, which makes sense. But here's where things get kind of crazy. The union actually withdrew those age discrimination claims from arbitration.
Hold on, the union just pulled the claims. Like, what was going on there?
Well, that's the million-dollar question that ended up sparking this whole legal battle. Because after the union backed down, the employees, they decided to take things into their own hands. They felt like their right to their day in court was being ignored, so they filed a lawsuit.
So this went from a union grievance to a full-blown federal case. What happened next? Did it go to trial?
Well, at first it seemed like a clear win for the employees. The district court and then the Second Circuit, they both sided with them. They looked at a 1974 Supreme Court case, Alexander v. Gardner Denver Co. That case, it seemed to say that workers could still sue even if their CBA had this arbitration agreement.
So two courts in a row siding with the employees.
Sounds like a done deal, right?
You'd think so, but this is where it takes a turn.
Mm-hmm.
The case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they flipped the script. They completely reversed the lower courts and ruled in favor of the employer. They decided to uphold that arbitration clause in the CBA.
Wow, a total reversal. So the Supreme Court basically said arbitration wins. Why such a big change? What was their logic?
Justice Thomas, he wrote the majority opinion, and he really saying that it was crystal clear that it explicitly said discrimination claims had to go through arbitration. And he said this was a key difference from that Gardner Denver case where the language was much more vague. So because this particular CBA was so clear cut, the Supreme Court was like, hey, you agreed to this. You're stuck with it.
Basically, yeah. And Justice Thomas, he made a point of saying that agreeing to arbitration, it doesn't mean you're giving up your rights under the ADEA. It just means you're picking a different place to make your case. Instead of a courtroom, it's an arbitration hearing.
Interesting. So trying to find a balance, right?
Yeah.
Acknowledging the ADEA, but also saying, hey, this is what the union negotiated.
Exactly. And to make their point even stronger, they brought in the National Labor Relations Act, the NLRA. That's the law that deals with unions, and it allows unions to negotiate these arbitration agreements as part of the employment contract. So the Supreme Court was saying, this is totally legal. Unions have the power to do this.
So the majority really hung their hat on that clear language in the CBA and the backing of the NLRA. But I'm guessing there were some people in the Supreme Court who weren't totally on board with this. Any dissenting opinions?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Justices Souter and Stevens, they wrote some strong dissents. They just weren't buying Justice Thomas's arguments. Justice Souter, he really felt that Gardner Denver should have been the deciding case here. He said workers shouldn't be forced to give up their right to sue, especially because, he thought, unions don't always put individual worker rights above, you know, the good of the whole group.
Now, that's a really interesting point. How much power should unions have, and can they always be trusted to do what's best for every single member?
Right. And then Justice Stevens, he had his own issues with the decision. He said that it basically went against the whole point of the ADEA, which was to protect individual workers.
Mm-hmm.
His worry was that this would lead to less accountability for employers because, you know, arbitration, it's more private, less oversight. He saw this as a weakening of worker protections.
So we've got this divided court. The majority focused on how the contract was written and that NLRA law, while the dissenters They were raising flags about worker rights and how this might affect the ADEA's protections.
Exactly. It's a complicated case. No easy answers.
So we've really dug into the Supreme Court's decision in 14 Penn Plaza LLC v. Piette. What happened next? Like, how did this case actually affect things out in the real world? What changed for workers?
It was a big deal, this case. You know, after Piette, employers felt a lot more confident about putting these very specific, super strict arbitration clauses in their collective bargaining agreements. It's like the court gave them this this permission slip, and now you see this kind of language everywhere in union contracts.
So you're saying that for millions of union workers, their ability to go to court for discrimination claims could be, well, limited by these clauses. That's a big shift. What does this mean for the unions themselves? Does it change their role at all?
It definitely ups the ante, yeah. Piette puts unions in this tricky position. They have even more responsibility now to make sure they're representing their members the right way during these arbitration cases. You know, if a union doesn't do their homework and a worker feels like they got a raw deal in arbitration, the courts might be less likely to step in and help because of this precedent. It's kind of a mess.
It's like a double-edged sword, right? Unions can negotiate these arbitration agreements, but then they're really on the hook to make sure the agreement is actually working for their people.
Exactly. And it goes to show how important it is for everyone involved, the employees and the unions, to really, really read that fine print in their CBAs. Don't just skim over those arbitration clauses. You gotta know what you're agreeing to, because like Piette shows us, the wording can make a huge difference.
Clarity is key, right? Mm. Both sides have to be crystal clear about what the agreement really means. So let's say someone's listening to this and they're in a union. What are the big takeaways from Piette? What should they be thinking about?
Well, the first thing, if you're in a union, go grab your CBA and take a good look at that arbitration clause. What kind of claims are covered? What's the process like? What if you don't like the result? You got to know what your options are. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to this union stuff.
That's great advice. Don't just assume you know what your CBA says. Get in there and read the details, especially that arbitration part. Anything else people should be aware of?
Yeah, one more thing. You know, this whole debate about arbitration, it's not over. Piette left a lot of questions unanswered, and courts are still figuring things out.
Like what? What kind of questions are we talking about?
Well, for example, people are wondering if the reasoning in Piette could be applied to other employment laws, not just age discrimination. What about Title VII, which covers things like race, religion, sex discrimination? Could we see more arbitration clauses popping up there? And what about the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act? Could that be affected too? It's a lot of unknowns. People are still fighting about this in court.
So Piette might just be the beginning. It could have a ripple effect on a lot of other areas of employment law. The implications are big.
Absolutely. And the case also brings up this other really important point. It's about the intersection of individual rights and collective bargaining. Like, how do these two ideas work together? Sometimes it feels like they're working against each other.
It's a tough balance, right? Protecting individual workers, but also respecting the role of unions and the agreements they negotiate.
Exactly. And Piette doesn't give us all the answers. It just shines a light on how complicated all of this is, you know? These are some of the biggest questions in labor law.
A lot to think about, for sure. Piette is still making waves, both in the legal world and in workplaces all over. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. Piette really makes you think, you know? It raises this tough question. When we move these disputes out of the courts and into arbitration, are we really protecting workers? Or are we just tipping the scales even more towards employers who usually have more resources, more experience with this whole process? It's something we all have to think about, especially as the way we work keeps changing.
You know, what really strikes me is this isn't just about legal stuff. It's about fairness, about access to justice, and about who has the power, you know? The employers, the employees, the unions. It's about making sure everyone's voice is heard and that everyone has a real chance to fight for their rights.
That's so true. And that's why it's so important to be in the know, to be proactive when it comes to your rights as a worker. Union or no union, you got to understand the laws that protect you, the agreements you're bound by at work, and what you can do if things go wrong.
I can't say this enough. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If something in your CBA doesn't make sense or it worries you, talk to your union rep. If you're dealing with an issue at work, think about talking to an employment lawyer. There's help out there, people who can help you figure out your rights and navigate all of this.
That's such good advice, knowing what can make all the difference at work. So keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep standing up for yourself. And a huge thank you for joining us for this deep dive into 14 Penn Plaza LLC v. Piet.
It's been great breaking down this case with you.
Until next time, stay curious and stay informed.